Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, hello, hello. Happy and a very happy Monday, actually. And welcome to the first Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcast of the week with me, your host, Andy Goldstein. And of course, there's only one place to start. As the mighty Manchester United made it four wins on the bounce after smashing Arsenal 3-1. At Old Trafford. Who could have predicted that? Oh yeah, me. Here's all the reaction to the game, including, of course, from both managers.
Manchester United 3, Arsenal 1. A fantastic performance, I have to say, by both sides. They both played their part.
It is another step, and it's really important that a team understands if you get a setback in a game that you have to deal with it. And they did really well. They stay calm, they stay composed, and they strike back.
Well, very disappointed that we haven't won the game, because the game was there for the taking.
We have to keep pushing the attitude and the mentality.
It's a big lesson. You want to win here, you have to do everything so right, and especially if you don't do it there, then in the opponent's goal, with the amount of chances that we created, you need to score more goals.
Set high standards every day. And so, like, good is not good enough. We have to do better. And I think there is a lot of room for improvement. We are on the start of the season, so we have to work every day really hard. Everyone has to bring their maximum every day to keep this process going in the right direction.
What I saw is a very different Arsenal team that came here and played the way we want to play against these world-class players, and unfortunately we didn't get the result that we deserve.
From day one, we set high standards, good values, and we live along those high standards and values, and then you create a winning culture. That is what we have to work for. So I'm not now thinking we are there, but we are on our way. We are in the good direction.
To be consistently with the top teams and challenging really at the top of this league, you have to come here, play the way you play, but win. And that's a very different story.
I understand fans, that they dream, and of course the standards of Man United has to be. But we are in the start from a process. We are still far away.
What a performance. This place erupted today. It was absolutely outstanding. Are they back? Big question mark. Manchester United 3, Arsenal 1.
Mickey, just give us the scoreline one last time.
Manchester United 3, Arsenal 1.
Get in there.
And here's more fallout from Manchester United's victory on the Boot Room with Alex Crook, Darren Ambrose and Adebayo Akinfenwa.
Seeing good man management, good coaching from Erik ten Hag. That's been all too lacking in the Old Trafford dressing room in recent seasons.
To be honest, it was clinical and the defence did a good job. But in terms of the performance, we did what we needed to do. We knew when it was 1-0, we was going to hit him on the carrot. That's why Rashford was still out there. Arsenal played good. They're playing good football. No one's denying that, but they've just not got the ball to see it through. The record at Old Trafford, they all knew. I was certain we was going to win.
We dominated 70 minutes of that game, I think.
Yeah, agreed.
On and off, we dominated 70 minutes of that game. I'm not going to be too down about it, because I had it in the back of my mind with Paul Tierney refereeing today. I knew it was going to go down one route, and obviously it did.
Arsenal fans are always going to moan. All I've been hearing on the show is about the VAR decision. Come on, man, that was a clear foul.
The major issue for me on that one is the referee lives 15 minutes from the ground.
That probably means he isn't a Manchester United fan, doesn't it? Because we're always being told that all Manchester United fans live in London.
Darren, you played for Crystal Palace, yeah?
Yeah.
Biggest rival was Brighton, right?
Yeah.
So you show up at Brighton to play them, and the referee's from Brighton. What are you going to be thinking before you start?
Well, obviously, we're not going to get all the decisions at all.
I would even say today was more of a reality check, but unfortunately, we've got a rotten record when it comes to playing at Old Trafford. It reared itself again today. I thought we were probably the better team over the 90 minutes, but Manchester United were more ruthless.
Tom is also a Manchester United fan. Says on my screen, Tom, Manchester United are title contenders.
I believe it with all my heart.
No, you don't. Yeah, no, you
on,
don't,
you
Tom.
Can't,
come on,
man.
Why not? If Man United finish in fourth place, it will be a fantastic achievement compared to last two seasons.
If we can keep going, we've got two games now. Leeds and Palace next two games. Then we play City. Yeah. We go into that and we've won the next two games. We go into City and get something against them. I mean, our record's not too bad against them, even in the past few years when we've been bobbins.
If ever there was a game to bounce back against a team who was struggling, it'd be Everton. And it's at the Emirates.
I think it's a different look Arsenal team. I think it's a different mentality now. On another day, I reckon we'd have buried United quite comfortably. But again, just luck of the draw, it just done us over.
Still not happy with Arteta, really.
Why not?
Come on.
Five out of five wins before today.
Fulham...
It's the Premier League.
I do agree, Josh. I do. Apart from probably Palace away, which is tough to go, you've probably done what's expected of you.
For me, it's all right looking good on Amazon Prime and beating the bottom sort of teams that are probably going to be scrapping for relegation. But then when you've come against the biggest team you've played, that substitution, I don't know what happened in that sort of 10 minutes. He's completely lost his head.
I have to say also the arrogance of the Man U fans is quite a thing. And that's a bubble that's going to...
Why is that, Paul?
So, you know, just this, like, you know, we're it now and that's it, you know, and, you know, see what happens. Alex Ferguson hasn't come back yet, you know what I mean?
Elsewhere, Leicester remain without a win in the Premier League this season after being thrashed 5-2 at Brighton to hand them a fifth straight defeat. The result leaves them bottom of the Premier League after six games. Here's all the reaction to the game, including a defiant Brendan Rodgers, a former Arsenal title winner Perry Groves, who thinks the under-fire boss could leave the club as soon as this week. Obviously, no one's going to leave the club. He means get sacked.
The referee has ended it and ended Leicester's misery finally here. Leicester have been well, well beaten here. As for Brighton, this is a real statement of intent, I think. Brighton 5, Leicester 2.
Confidence is obviously low because we're not getting the results. And then we make mistakes when we have it. So, tough afternoon. But like I say, you can only be honest and Brighton with a better team today.
I don't think he's going to last this week. I think if he had anything about him, he would go to Leicester. Managers don't resign, do they?
Of course
but,
not.
But he's lost his enthusiasm. He had an airy resignation halfway through the transfer window, didn't he, when there was no players coming in?
He can't handle being challenged by senior players in senior clubs and he's lost the dressing room. He's got to go.
It's a big challenge, but it's a great challenge. Been a tough summer for us, but all you can do is stay focused and look to get the players' confidence back up in the week.
And what he will be feeling is he can't get any more out of this group of players. You know, Mickey will tell you when it's the same group of players, you have the same voice, the same training sessions, you know, the same information that's coming across. One or two things has to happen. Either you get five or six new players in to give everybody a lift, or you get a new manager in who comes in with fresh ideas and fresh enthusiasm. Brendan Rodgers, you can tell in his body language, Sam, you can tell when you've been interviewing him, he's lost that spark.
I'd never lose any belief in what I do. The summer was a challenge for us, but ultimately I'm responsible for the results, and the results at this moment in time haven't been good enough.
You can tell that he's lost his mojo completely at Leicester. How many managers have you ever heard come out and say, this isn't the club that it was 2 years ago?
Yeah. It's a dangerous thing to do as well with the owners. So the last manager that said that got sacked. The
team's in a difficult moment. And when you're in that moment, then, of course, the confidence can be a little bit low. But it's my job and the staff's job to keep them up there, keep them fighting, keep them working. And football can change very quickly.
You manage your staff, you give them, whether it's agency or something. He's an elite coach. You coach. How come he had so many conceded goals on corners and set pieces last year as an elite coach?
Listen, as much as Brendan Rodgers, I can see why he's under pressure. He has been dealt the toughest hand of any manager in the Premier League this summer. There's no question about that. You've not spent any money.
The challenge, we have to embrace it. I'm certainly not going to shirk it. It's been really, really difficult. And we just need to, as I said, get that laser focus on. And hopefully then the supporters can really support the team.
Regardless of what, we're in a result-driven business. So when you lose four on the bounce or five on the bounce, as it's been, and you're bottom of the table, you're going to get pressure. Mm. But at the same time, you can't negate the fact that he hasn't been able to bring in any players. Fofana's just gone. Schmeichel's gone. So if you're losing all your best players, you're going to find it hard, especially in one of the toughest leagues in the world.
It's like a jigsaw. We've got pieces missing. And it's a constant challenge to try and fill the gaps where the pieces are missing. That's the reality.
If he stays there with this same group of players, Leicester have every chance of getting relegated.
Yeah, the Premier League has asked the PGMOL to look into VAR because of the incidents at Saturday's Premier League games at both Chelsea and Newcastle. West Ham had an equaliser ruled out for a foul on Chelsea goalkeeper Edouard Mendy, whilst Joe Willock's header for Newcastle was also ruled out for a foul on the Crystal Palace goalkeeper. Here's the former Wales striker Dean Saunders, the former Arsenal winger Perry Groves, and the former Premier League ref Mark Horsey-Housey, who have had their say.
Connor Cody, Bowen, Hickey, goal at Newcastle, Nico Williams' shot that was given handball. The list is endless.
Yeah, it's not VAR. VAR is good for the game. It's the personnel that's using it. That's the problem. Yeah. And it's the leadership and the direction and the training education that comes from the PGMOL management. That's the big problem.
The worst mistake of the weekend, and as we now know, it's been investigated by the Premier League, it's a goal. It is a goal. VAR Lee Mason should never have got involved in this at all. Why are you pressing your button?
I have absolutely no idea. And that's what infuriates fans and people watch football, because they said, Sam, that they weren't going to get involved. And worst ways out, if Lee Mason's going to get involved, then that's a penalty on Willock.
Since it was introduced into the Premier League, have we seen any improvements? And you've got to say, after this weekend, no, we haven't.
It's not VAR, it's the incompetence of the people that are using the VAR. Jared Gillett was brought over from Australia because he was a VAR expert. These referees have got to start growing a pair, like Michael Oliver, and going to look at that and going, no, what I saw in real time is exactly what I've seen when I'm looking at it again.
What we need to do, we need more training and education on VAR, because we're seeing VAR getting involved where they just shouldn't be getting involved. We don't need active referees refereeing one day, going down to Stockley Park the next day. That's too much. Yep. It's too much for them.
VAR's there to help the referee get things right on the pitch, to help the referee get things right. Referees, when I played, didn't have any help. But I'm confident if I had seven screens and I had 2 or 3 minutes to have a look at seven different angles of an incident, I'd get one wrong in 50. But to get them wrong every week, it's just like, you would be confident, wouldn't you, if you sat in a VAR chair and you had seven different angles to see an incident.
I've done it. I have to say it's hard. There is, because you're expected to make a decision pretty quick. Mm. And I remember we were told, right, watch this and what's the issue? Now, it was so quick that you're like, oh, I don't know what I'm looking at. Because you're not used to it. And I'm not a referee anyway, so I don't have that referee brain, if you like. So I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, I'd get it right.
Clear and obvious. If you make a mistake, it was obviously wrong. To someone else, you're obviously right. So what does it mean? I don't get it.
Yeah.
You're either wrong or you're right. The VAR is to help the referee. But some of the referees obviously don't understand football. And the VAR chair is exposing them.
It's a little bit too early to turn around and sort of like start ripping up the textbook and starting again. But, like, I mean, those decisions were so impactful, those two decisions, the Newcastle one and the Chelsea one, that there had to be some response.
How long have we had VAR for? Is this the third or fourth season now?
You're right, I don't know, I can't remember.
Right, well, I know, right. We're still nowhere near as where it should be.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much.
But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
And we end the podcast by looking back at yesterday's Dutch Grand Prix. Or, of course, as Steve McLaren would say, the Dutch Grand Prix. As home favourite, Max Verstappen secured his 10th victory of the season. Here's TalkSport's F1 correspondent, Fern Balsh, who's picked out her three key takeaways from the race.
It was a dramatic race in front of a record Dutch crowd with spins and safety cars, but eventually it went in the favour of home driver Max Verstappen, who took his 10th Grand Prix of the year, equaling the same amount of victories last season in his championship winning year, and with 7 races to go, a 109-point lead, well, make of that what you will. Such a hard day for Lewis Hamilton. He was in touching distance of his first victory of the year, but a safety car and a poor tyre call from Mercedes let him down, so not only did he not win, but lost out on a podium spot completely. His teammate George Russell scrapped past him to steal second, and then to add insult to injury, Charles Leclerc found some space to push Lewis out of the top. Not his day whatsoever. Every single race we're talking about this Ferrari strategy, and now something needs to urgently change. Yes, Charles took third, but he pretty much went unnoticed the whole race, and the team completely ruined Carlos Sainz's afternoon. To start off with, they put on the wrong tyres, which lost him time, and then in another pit, gave him an unsafe release, resulting in a 5-second penalty. So he finished completely out of the points. Something needs to change, and it needs to change quick, especially if they want to do well in Monza next week at the Italian Grand Prix. We'll have live updates on TalkSport from the race on Sunday.
Well, that's it for another podcasty thing. Thanks for listening on the TalkSport app, wherever you get your podcast from. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. I'm back today, actually, at 4 p.m. on, of course, Andy Goldstein's Drive Time show, alongside former England striker Darren Bent, who will be wearing a Manchester United shirt for the entire show because he lost the bet. Anyway, there will, of course, be another one of these Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcasts at first in the morning. So do what you have to do to get it. Until then, thanks for listening. Have a good day. And above all, be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.